Alrighty. Do-do-do-do. Okay, there we go.
My name is Ryan Eden Willikin, author of 101 Most Influential Coming-of-Age Movies, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Got it.
Okay, I got you.
This is my home, which I am leaving the comforts of for the weekend to explore the Blair Witch.
You've heard of the Blair Witch?
Several times.
I was laying down on the leaves, a pile of leaves, kind of watching my pool and looking up at the sky.
Have you ever heard of the Blair Witch?
And all of a sudden, I felt like something was near me.
Right.
You know, kind of an eerie feeling.
What's your take on the Blair Witch at this point? Do you think she exists?
I don't know.
I gave you back the map, Heather.
I gave you the map.
I gave you back the map.
I don't.
We're lost, admit that first, because...
I know we're not lost. Hello? Hello?
They're all over the place.
Holy shit.
And it's all because of me that we're here now. Hungry. And cold. And hunted.
To another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan
and Logan.
And today we are going to be talking about a couple of different movies. It is our Halloween special.
However that goes.
If you didn't know by the trailer, well, we're going to be talking about the Blair Witch Project. We're going to kind of skip the second movie and go into the third movie, which is just called Blair Witch. And we decided to skip the second movie because it was kind of a different story slant, and the third movie was basically a direct sequel to Blair Witch. So that's where we're coming from with these two movies, as doing both all in one. The Blair Witch Project was back in 1999, folks.
Yep.
This had one of those guerrilla-type tactics of campaigning where they toted themselves as being this was actual footage found.
Yeah.
And it tricked a lot of people. I mean, everybody pretty much thought it was real.
Yeah, because they had that mockumentary. Yep. And they actually had aired that on TV. So there was a lot of people who thought that, you know, that, oh, this movie is based on a true story.
Though, if that was true to the TV version, if they paid attention to the little subtitles of where they got the footage from. Yeah, not so much.
Oh, well, it seemed real, though.
But, like you were saying when we were watching it, Richard, that was a good way to get viewers, to get people into the theater to watch it. And, like you said, that is great published, you know.
PR. That is true. And the people behind it, which were the writers and directors, were Daniel Merrick and Eduardo Sanchez. I'm only going to list the three people that were the main cast, because that's all that counts, is Heather Donahan, and they used their real names, Joshua Leonard and Michael C. Williams. So they actually used their own names. So if you looked up the people, they're actual people too. So again, another boom, there you go. But about three film students that go to Maryland to make a student film about the local legend, the Blair Witch. Yay, we want to go do this. No, we don't.
Yeah. I tried talking Logan and Richard into doing it.
Nope.
I said, do you feel like taking a hike? And they were like, nah, not today.
We are not horror movie stupid.
Sorry. No, we're not.
Oh, man. Who says that we had to step into a horror movie? You know, this isn't real. It would be exciting.
Well, they do have ghost tours occasionally.
The library itself is haunted. Not too much, but
yeah, it is. Haunted.
Some people say that. True. The three went into the woods for a two-day hike to find the Blair Witch, and they never came back. 1 year later, the students' film and video were found in the woods, and the footage was compiled and made into this movie. And it was after about, I think, and again, my memory's fuzzy, but like a month or 2 months after the movie premiered, the directors came out and said, it's fake. Calm down, people. But this is what started basically the found film footage genre.
Mm-hmm.
There might have been something else out there beforehand, but this made a big splash and made everybody copy it.
And, to a degree, it is copied. I mean,
a lot.
Like, look at, what's that one?
District 9?
District 9 was
Cloverfield. Thinking of District 9. I was thinking of,
one.
There was one about the Coven ghost. Of Witches.
The Ghost. What is that? Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking
that
of.
That series.
Like the
Paranormal Activity. Right,
Paranormal Activity is another big one that blew up.
That's almost a different subgenre entirely, because instead of camcorders and the stuff, the surveillance cameras.
But they all are classified under found footage, because it's footage from film cameras.
Yeah. But occupants. I was going to say the fourth kind, but the fourth kind is actually based on a true story. Yeah.
It wasn't. Was it? What? For some reason, I was thinking the fourth kind was a mockumentary, or that was something like that.
No, it's a. I can't remember what they call it. Film, drama, docudrama.
It's a docudrama.
Based around true events, but they might embellish some.
And
it's about alien encounters.
And they actually also put some of the live footage of her recordings into that film. So. Yeah, I totally agree with what you said. You know, the found footage films are getting popular. I mean, look at American Horror Story. The last season of American Horror Story was based off something like that.
We haven't seen all of them yet.
Yeah,
we've only seen the first two or three.
Three, like I think, because we've watched at least three.
They're on seven now.
And this is
we finished Salem.
And this is why they became so popular. Mm-hmm. This was shot on basically an estimated $60,000 budget.
Mm-hmm.
Just USA alone gross was $140,539,999.
That is a lot of
That's a big profit for those two
gentlemen. And they made a lot of money on it. I mean, like, this was...
But since
I remember 1999. This was the big deal in 1999. And I was only... I got to do the math here.
Well, I was four, so...
There you go. Logan was four. He knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
Let's see.
And this is one where you just kind of... say, oh, okay, that's cool, but nowadays it's secondhand, so they don't make near as much money.
Okay, so I was 11.
You were 11, okay. But it pretty much, this is one we kind of talked about, watching movies in the dark and with the sound turned up.
Yeah.
This is one that's best done that way.
Right.
Because everything is done in the background, and a lot of the shots are almost basically complete darkness.
And that's what made this movie so, for me, it made it great.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed, you know, the suspense, you know, hearing all the crackles. And like you said, you have to turn up the volume to hear it, but it's there. Yeah. And that's what makes it creepy.
Yeah, it's all the, like you said, the crackles of people walking, the children...
The children laughing. Oh man, that
the screaming of was it Josh? I believe, yeah, Josh. The screaming of him was a little bit louder.
Yeah, it was, but it was like but you know, in a way.
I mean, I'm getting cold chills right now.
Yeah,
talking about it.
Ah. So am I. But wait, what was that? No, I'm just kidding. make our Halloween edition a little bit more exciting here.
But yeah, it was one of those where, and I kind of did a little bit of a timeline here. Let's see, the second night. Oh, the first night they woke up, and they when they went in, they found seven piles of rocks.
Mm.
And I just assumed that was for the seven kids that were killed by this guy that went back in there and went nuts. And
yeah.
But it's all based around the Blair Witch, though, not the guy, but kind of loosely around him, too.
Yeah.
Don't but quite know.
Basically, everything's attributed to the Blair Witch. Yeah.
My question is
the Blair Witch feeds him what to do.
Right. Because she was back in the 1800s, supposedly.
And I was thinking that maybe she had something to do with the guy as well. So, it's possible. The main basis of it is they go to this, like they interview so many people, and then they go into the forest and start, you know, hiking. They set up camp for the night, and the first night they hear something and they don't think anything of it. Like, they're not. And then when they find the piles of rocks, that's when they start getting creeped out. And Michael.
And that's after they visited the rock pile cemetery that they
found. Yeah.
That was outside the tents that they found the rocks. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Michael is the one who is the first one to set. I mean, like, he is blaming everybody to the sky above from the ground below. It's everybody's fault.
And the reason he's doing blaming is because we have their they just went in for 2 nights or 2 days, mm-hmm. and then they were going to come back out, and they lost their map.
Yep.
And it wasn't anybody's fault, but Michael's
blame game came into the fact. But so they're there multiple nights, mm-hmm. and it's on the sixth night. Or sixth morning, they find that Josh is gone.
Yeah, he disappears.
And then they hear him screaming the next night after that.
But I see where they came with that, because when every time they heard him screaming and yelling, like they, but we forgot that they also found a tongue.
Right, and that was.
And I still
she that didn't was tell. Seventh. Though she did not,
she didn't tell Michael that.
That was the seventh morning.
Yeah, but Heather found a tongue.
You heard him,
and I still say that it's Josh's.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Pretty sure.
Pretty sure.
And I still think that it was a witch or whatever was going on using Josh's voice to call in Heather and Michael to.
What?
Keep on almost thinking I hear knocks. Weird.
Okay.
Okay. Now I'm hearing them.
Okay. Logan and Jonathan have gone to investigate the knocks, which Logan found out turned out to be the boiler thing. He's pretty sure.
And here I'm still thinking that it might be the Blair Witch. So.
But yeah, the sixth night is when we heard the screaming, and the seventh morning is when we found the tongue.
Right.
So that's always the progression.
And so I still think that it was the witch using Josh's voice to lure them to their creepy-ass house.
Yeah.
Jonathan, has there ever been any sign we actually doubted that was the case?
No. You guys were arguing with me.
No.
Well, we were saying it. We said it was Josh was screaming because the tongue was found the next morning. And then when it gets to the house, I think that's when we kind of diverged. We're kind of like, well, it could have been Joshua, but then Jonathan reminded us that the tongue was found. And we were saying, well, it could have been somebody else's tongue, which I guess could have, but it'd be a big stretch. I'm kind of leaning towards what Jonathan said that night. And I was like, it makes more sense it's Jonathan's tongue. Yeah. It makes more sense that it's Joshua's tongue and the witch was mimicking. And that kind of plays into the second movie,
right, which
we'll get to as
and
well.
And that's why I was like,
true. And the seventh night is when everything comes to the boiling point, mm-hmm. and Michael and Heather go screaming into the night.
In the house.
You have the famous shot that's parodied a lot in the movies where she's got this close-up of her face and tears are coming down, going into her nose and causing some bubbles. And it is funny now in parody and hindsight, but at that time, you're like, you know, she's terrified.
Yeah. But there was also... In the trailer, there's also a scene where one of the guys is saying, I'm so scared. Because I think the guys have some scenes with the cameras themselves, too. And there was one scene, and it's in the trailer. It's in one of the trailers.
I don't
remember. But I remember the scene vividly. I don't know why I remember that trailer scene vividly. But I remember one of the guys holding the camera up to his face and talking into it. And he goes, I'm so scared. And it's just like...
I don't remember that one. I remember that being Heather.
Well, no, it wasn't... I mean, like I said, it was in the trailers. It was in the movie trailers. It was in some of the older ones. I don't... Or maybe it was... I don't remember.
Are you sure you're remembering it vividly because you imagined it?
No.
Okay,
I think we figured out where Jonathan was at. There is one section, and we'll let Jonathan go through it and with us here real fast. And then we're going to kind of do a quick finish up of this movie and then dive into the second.
And we didn't even mention the Murder Rock.
Oh, well. The what?
Murder Rock, their first destination.
Oh, right.
They went to the Murder Rock in the Stone Cemetery before Stone Cemetery.
I did mention Stone Cemetery.
Well, actually, Logan mentioned it first.
Actually, the ones that were by their tents weren't the cemetery.
That's not the one I was talking about. I was talking about the seven piles of rocks that they found in the cemetery signified the seven kids.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I just didn't call it a cemetery. And then you mentioned the rocks outside the tent.
I thought that was the other way around, but whatever. I'm getting confused now. Go anyway, on to Jonathan.
We kind of looked back and rethought and watched some of the stuff.
Okay, so there was one scene where they were looking for Josh, and Michael had the camera in his hand. It was dark, but there was...
You just heard him talking.
You heard him talking, and one of the things that he was saying was, "I'm so scared," and he just kept talking, and... It's in the trailer, like, and so...
I said, I don't know what the trailer was. It wasn't in the
It was one of the older...
I do remember that scene, though.
But it's just like, and even in the opening, you hear him going, "I'm so scared." But it's one of those iconic lines, other than the, you know, the video.
Yeah.
For me, it's one of those iconic lines.
Like I said, I remember Heather being there. In the trailers, I don't remember Michael's part being in there, but that doesn't mean there's other trailers out there that don't have it.
Yeah.
But we go in there. They're out in the seventh night. They go running. It's kind of storming.
Raining.
Mm-hmm.
And they start hearing screams again. And so they start going forward, and they clear through this clearing, and
there's a house. This
abandoned two-story house with a basement in it. Mm-hmm. And this is the old man's house that was influenced by supposedly the Blair Witch, which is all supposedly, which is all fake. So, they go in there.
She actually tries not to go in for it.
Don't go in there. I'm going in there because it's Joshua. She stays out for quite a while before she goes in.
Yeah.
And then when she goes in, she's going, she's not screaming Josh's name anymore. She's screaming Michael's name. And then when she finds him, he's standing in the corner. And then the camera drops. And you don't know what happens.
Yep.
But you kind of hear, it sounds like she's being hit over the head or grabbed. And that's where the camera drops. And there's just, that's it. Silence from there. And it goes to credits. And before then, she's running throughout the whole house trying to find Michael.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you see little bitty handprints, supposedly in blood, on all the walls. And I think she actually finds them in the basement.
Yeah. And that's where supposedly all the kids were supposed to die, because the story behind the old man, or behind the man, was he would put the kids in the corner,
while
and then
facing away while he
killed facing the other way one. While he killed the other one.
Oh.
If they would turn around and look, he would take that kid and put the kid that he was getting ready to kill in the corner and tell him not to turn around, and he would kill the kid who turned around.
True.
Because he didn't like to feel their eyes on him.
Right. So.
And the Blair Witch in herself was just, like I said, back in the 1800s, she was driven out of town, and then she comes back in the form, and...
Was she driven out?
She's driven out, and then she comes back, and...
I thought she was killed.
Kids, people... maybe she was. Well, she was either driven out or killed. I can't remember.
I think she was killed.
But she was
version
taken
of the
out.
First. She was just tied to a tree and left in winter
to die.
In the second one, they mentioned a theory that instead of just tying, she was put high on a tree and had her limbs weighted down. But that one was
mentioned in the second one. But
as a room.
But it's basically children started disappearing from the town.
And they blamed her.
They thought it was her ghost and her curse on the town. So the town moved. Actually, it got abandoned. And then it was kind of resettled again under a different name, which I can't remember what the new name was, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I didn't put that in my notes. It does say that it's in the Blackwoods Forest, though. But that's the first part. Then we're going to jump into the second part and go from there and continue on.
What is that?
The guy who uploaded this video said it was from a tape he found in the Black Hills woods. I think that might be my sister.
You really think your sister could still be out there after all these years?
If there is any chance that I could find out what happened to her, I need to try.
Legend said there's been a curse on these woods.
Do you believe in the stories about the Blair Witch?
Oh my God!
This looks familiar.
We've been walking in a circle.
No way.
They're everywhere. Who could have done this? You did this! Something out there.
We found it!
That's not your sister. That can't be her.
Come on! Get in the corner! Don't look!
I'm so sorry.
The trailer to Blair Witch was just released in 2014, and like I said, we're skipping the second movie because it's kind of
Book of the Shadows or something. Can't remember.
I don't remember either. But it's kind of just a separate story on its own. But this one is pretty much a direct sequel to Blair Witch Project because it's taking place 20 years later, and it's basically is centered around James, which is supposedly Heather's brother. Mm-hmm. Lisa, who is played by Kaylee Hernandez, who's the film student. Ashley is the girlfriend of one of James's friends.
Peter.
Peter is James's best friend. Then we come up with two local kids, Lane, who's played by Wes Robinson, and Talia, played by Valerie Curry. And it's basically, like I said, 20 years later, which puts him basically four years old when this happened in Blair Witch.
And apparently they took him and his friend, or at least his friend, on
Peter.
Peter on
looking for Heather
searches. So right. He might be a year or two older, or they took
somewhere
a
4-year old. The youngest he would have been would 4.
Yeah,
probably oldest he would have been would be around 7
ish,
60, 70 ish, but not much older. So yeah. His sister was much older than him. But the footage is found again of somebody in the house, and it's an older lady, and he's saying, well, that's my sister. We got to go find her. She's been lost in those woods all these years, which is like, okay. One, I don't think she would, well, I guess she wasn't voluntarily there anyway. She was held there, but more likely she was killed, not held. I mean, that's the way the curse was.
Considering some of the things, and I do mean things, that we see in this one, it might be she was just horribly experimented on instead.
I don't know. It doesn't really imply that.
Not what he thinks, though, yeah. But the long-limbed things that you see occasionally that aren't the witch, because they actually mentioned it.
I don't think it is a witch. What I do think, however, is...
Jumping way ahead here.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about that yet, then.
These movies are old, so spoilers abound. Even this one. The other one was definitely older. But the first, let's just start from the beginning like we did last one. First day, when they're out going out there, Ashley cuts her foot. And it's not that big a deal, but it's like, it's a cut foot. You're in the woods.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big deal.
But also, we also got to remember that James is a paramedic, and he's...
True, and he's, it's fine, but it's like still walking.
And he bandages up, and
it's like, I don't know if I'd want him working on me.
She never even got a cane, which they're in a wood, that should be easy.
I don't think they were worried about the cane, but
yeah.
Well, actually, the first day,
Lane and Talia.
Yeah, they meet them.
Where they're going.
That's where it actually starts, is they go and meet Lane and Talia. And Lane and Talia are like,
we're going.
We're going to come on with.
Yeah, we want to come. If you want us to take you there, we're going to go with you.
Yeah.
And James and Peter and the rest of the group, they're like, we don't know about this. We have to talk about ourselves.
But they go anyway.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't really keep them from going, so
Technically, no. But they do team up and go in. Like I said, the first day, Ashley cuts her foot. They go to bed that night, and they wake up.
They wake up, and they find
the stick people.
The stick people, yeah.
And they, on all their watches, say 2 p.m.
Yep.
So that'll come back into play a little bit, because we find out that later on they keep going through, and they start walking again or something. I can't remember. But Ashley sees evidence in Lane's backpack that
he probably created
the stick people, and he says, "Oh yeah, you caught me, but we couldn't do the other stuff." So they kind of drew these people out here on false pretenses, just for them to build up their own courage to go into these woods, so they're not by themselves. Basically, is what I got from it.
And what ended up was they ended up separating anyway,
because they were pissed at him.
So.
Which I can understand.
Yeah, I can, because I mean they scare the living out of them.
Yep. True.
And it's just like,
oh yeah, I'd be upset too. Be honest, I probably would be. So you can't really blame them for what they did, but they find out that, you know, they go around and they found out they've walked in a circle,
right?
And they spend the second night at the same campsite. But Lane and Talia are already gone.
And then that's the first night that Peter disappears. He went looking for the firewood, and because what's her name is laying down in the tent because her foot's gotten infected. And
was it this night or the next night that we get to see the foot beating that little white?
I think it was this night, because that happened before Peter left, because he was telling James, you need to check on her. Something's screwy.
Yeah. Well, because he pulled something out, or she
pulled something out later.
Yeah, it pulsed.
Yeah. She pulled the little fish skeleton thing out of her later.
But that's at a later time, yeah. But this one, it was just Peter saw that pulse in her foot, and it had gotten worse and way infected, and they were like, he goes out and says, James, check it out. I'm going to go get wood.
Yeah.
She's scaring me.
We need a fire.
And Peter's the one who's supposedly the tough guy.
Yep.
And like,
saying, this is all fake. This is fake. There's nothing out here.
But, you know, we didn't mention, like, in the first film, they couldn't find a way out of the forest because they kept going in circles, too. And, like, they were trying to find so essentially they were kind of trapped in the forest.
In the later part, they came across the same water crossing. You don't remember maybe. That?
They
did.
I know they were talking about, this is the same. No, it isn't. This is the same. No, maybe it is the same.
But then they actually said it was the same crossing. So they were walking in circles too.
So essentially, in the first movie, they were trapped. In the second movie, they were trapped in the forest too. Because what they were looking for was their vehicles to get out, because they wanted to leave.
Yeah.
And they pretty much do the same thing in this one, too.
And this one, James is wanting to get to that house.
Yeah.
That's his ultimate goal.
Yeah.
And the others are just there to pacify him. And his friend, Lisa, just wants to make the documentary so she can get it all on film. Yada, yada. But we talked about Peter going out and goes missing. But the first thing that happened was a tree fell on him.
Yeah.
And this one's more proactive, I guess you would say. It's more involved, I guess, because there is stuff in the background, but a lot of stuff is right there, because Peter's under the tree, and you actually see a shadow, and then he's being yanked away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, that's fast, you know, and you see the pulsing of the foot. That's really fast. So this one jumps you in fairly fast once they get on the trail, where the first one,
It was slow. It drew
itself out.
Right. And we'll get into that here in a little bit. But then he's gone. They start walking more and stuff. But they go to sleep again the next night because Peter's gone. He's not there during the day, during the morning either. They go around again. And
they meet up with Lane and
Atalia.
It's dark again.
Yeah, when it's dark again. Yeah.
And they're like, we've been in here 5 days and the sun has not been up.
Yeah.
And so that's a little bit different from the first one, where they actually had the rotation of the days.
And then they also had the stick people there, too. And Talia looks at one of the stick people, and she goes, that's my hair.
Not that bit's later, but yeah.
No, this is when they meet back up in the dark there, because they see
because
Wayne runs off again because he's like, all right, we got to get out of here. And Talia stays there. And this, but before they got there, they found a, you're thinking probably about the bunch of stick people they find hanging, and even big ones and small ones.
And then
that was during the day.
Yeah.
And then when it got night again, they found Lane and Talia, and that's where you were coming in with the hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she goes, that's my hair. And what's her name?
Ashley.
Peter Ashley. Girlfriend. She freaks out, and she grabs the stick figure, and she breaks it.
And
snap goes Talia.
Yep. So it's like, okay. This is what I'm saying. It's more involved in this one than the first one. You never saw anything. Nothing. I mean, you didn't. You heard the screaming, but you never saw anything.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You heard. You saw Mike in the corner and her supposedly getting knocked out. Nothing. You never saw
but, and like Josh, you heard him. You heard him screaming, and you heard the grunts of pain. Like you knew that something bad was happening to him, but you didn't see it.
Yeah,
true.
This one, you see the bad stuff happening,
and they eventually find the house, just like in the last one. Mm-hmm. And the only ones left are Lisa and James, because I think even at that point, Ashley's gone too.
Yeah, because Ashley climbs up the tree to get to the
drone. They were separated, and the tents went.
Yeah, the tents flew away. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and then landed on them as they were running.
And Ashley, the bright one, climbs up the tree to get to the drone.
With her injured foot.
Yeah. With her injured foot. And
she actually
the tree ends
it.
Up... Well, she's trying to get the drone out, and she ends up falling down. Mm-hmm. And that's when they drag her off.
Yep.
I still think it was Lane who dragged her off. I don't think it was... I think it was Lane.
Could be.
It's possible, yeah. Could have been.
Easily possible.
So you're stuck with Lisa and James. Yep. Like in the first one, you're down to two. They find the house. They go in.
But don't forget that Lane is also in the house because...
Right, but,
yeah, but we don't know that yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but James goes in first.
First, because Lisa doesn't want to go in.
Right. And so, I think so he heard what there. He thought was his sister or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he heard his sister. But then she eventually goes in just like in the first one. Heather eventually went in.
So this time it's because she saw one of the long-limbed figures in the forest.
Oh, that's right. And I don't know if these are the children's spirits and reanimated as tree-type people or
maybe the people from the first film.
That's what I was thinking too. Well, because remember I said something about, you know, I think this was probably the witch's victims, you know.
It's possible. But they looked like trees. I mean, they kind of like bark was on instead of like people. And they were taller and skinnier and lankier. Mm-hmm. So it could have been the victims in the first three as well. But like you said, Elaine was in the house, and we discover that after Lisa goes in and I think
he crawls through the pipes.
Well, he's
in he traps her in the... What does he trap her in?
Some type of little cavity in the cell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she ends up crawling through the pipes.
Tunnel systems.
Yeah, and
there is no pipes because she has to dig stuff out.
And then she squirms her way back into the house, and he's there. And
he goes down.
Yeah, thanks to Lisa.
Stab through the throat.
Was it?
I can't remember. It went straight through
the throat. I don't remember if it was a throat. I thought it was a stomach. But
it went straight through the throat. I remember that much. But I can't remember if it was scissors or a butcher knife.
I can't remember. Or did she have a pocket knife on her? Like a
I can't remember what she used.
She picked something up off the...
But this is one where they said the tunnels were there. Why, I can't remember. But maybe all of a sudden, this place has tunnels now.
Yeah.
And that basically leads her in a circle, too, because she ends up back in the house, too, after crawling through these tunnels, almost right where she was at.
Yeah.
And they're tunnels because you have all the weeds. And she gets stuck in one section. And I looked at John and said, that's one reason why. I'm not going to go into a tunnel.
And it's almost like something's chasing her through the tunnel, too. Because
They imply that with how that's shot and the noise behind her, like something's following her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of it, she's going in, running through the house, looking for James.
And we see that shot that they found in the area.
Right.
They she finds him in the room where he got locked in, and then she lets him out, and then they get to the basement, and they're both told to, somehow they're both end up in the corner.
Actually, in the attic.
That's in the attic.
Yeah.
One.
Okay. Well, either way, they're both ended up in the corners. And James is like, whatever you do, do not turn around. Do not turn around.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure and the Blair Witch could kill them regardless.
He hears Heather's voice, and he turns around. Heather, dummy, you just told her not to turn around.
Yeah.
And then
she devises the great method of looking into her camera with the screen flipped so she can see what's going on as she records behind her.
She still turns around.
When she hears the
James's voice, I'm so sorry. She just... James instead of turns just around.
Looking with her camera to see where he is, turns around.
True.
And then
and it ends again. So this one ended a little bit differently. Yeah. The tunnel systems were different. I don't remember any mention of the tunnel systems in the first one.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the witch cared not at all about their looking around and just wanted to screw with them a bit, but
probably.
True, but in the end it was about, they're there, we're gonna kill them.
Yeah.
Basically, they're infringing upon her area of control. Uh-huh. And that's pretty much what they usually say about the witches. You know, it's kind of like a
gang.
You don't come into my neighborhood.
And they had all the sunrises right in that ending bit.
So, this one, instead of ending in the basement, like Logan said, it was in the attic. And like Jonathan said, both were in the corner, not just one. So there were little few differences. But to kind of show you how it kind of fell off, and actually this says it was evidently released on DVD in 2016. So evidently, and in my notes, it came out in 2014. The DVD for the Blair Witch Project actually came out in 1999. The actual movie was in 1994 when it was released.
So they took a while to get the DVD.
VHS, probably a little bit earlier, but I'm talking about
DVD. Good point.
But back then, it did take a little while, and DVD was just coming in. Mm-hmm. But to show you how the found footage genre has kind of slipped and why it's not why the people are doing this or studios, on Blair Witch, they spent estimated $5 million making this movie.
Yeah.
They brought in, just U.S. alone, $20,747,013. Still pretty good, but they went from a $60,000 movie to a $5 million movie. Yeah. And to me, the $60,000 movie still trumps it because it's creepier. It leaves so much more to your imagination, which is way far creepier than what they showed on the screen in this one.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it was still good and it's still shocking. We had to back it up with Talia to figure out, what just happened there?
Yeah, well, that was my fault because I was like, wait a minute, what?
It's done so fast, you barely see it. Uh-huh. You just hear the crack, crack.
And then you see her collapse, and it's just like, wait, what just happened? And Logan is explaining it to me. I'm like, I've got to see this for myself.
So that's the way, and things happen.
Yeah, so... And this one had so much more involved with it. It had the tree-like people, which, like Lois said, could have been the victims, past victims, as well as the three from the previous. They specifically mention
in some of the special features that we watched the first time, but not the second we watched it, so it's a bit dim in my memory. But those were not the witch. So,
I know the special features that you were talking about, probably part of this $5 million went to reconstructing
the scene exactly how it was. I can
talk there for a moment.
That check.
They went back and on sound stages recreated this house. Mm-hmm. And they went through footage from the Blair Witch Project to get it as exact as they could. And they added some stuff to the house, too, because there are some parts that
weren't
attic wasn't really explored in the first one.
Yeah.
Because that was completely new. That's probably why you thought it was in the basement again, because it was completely new. They went a different direction. But I can only think that's just because they wanted to be a little different.
Yeah. They'd already killed the one guy in the basement.
Yeah, and the tunnel system was new. That was, like I said, wasn't in the first one. So there are some changes, but for the house itself, and trying to, the handprints and the wood, how it looked and how the walls were tore up. The two people that did it, which was, I don't have the director here. I'm sorry, guys. Oh, I'm really good, aren't I? No, I don't. For some reason, I didn't get that written down. But anyway, they recreated it so faithfully, and I think that's where a lot of their budget went.
Oh, that.
Mm-hmm. And the It's also known as the Blair Witch Project 3, which is basically part of the series. Yeah. We might at some point, maybe just for hoots, go back and watch the second movie, but yeah. It's kind of a big divergent.
Nope.
When you put these two together, they make a nice bookend series. It's just all self-contained, and it makes sense. Because the kid's older, and he's looking for a sister, still holding out hope, which I guess people will pine that long if they're really emotionally
invested
in it or scarred. They don't want to give up hope, so you can kind of see why James is the way he is, but at the same time I'm kind of like, it's 20 years, bro.
Yeah. If she's not back. Found she's probably dead.
So but they're both good. I would say if you're going to watch them both, and you can, like I said, skip the second one.
Yeah.
But if you're just going to choose one of them,
if you wanted to watch the second, you'd have to find it. So I have no clue how well that would go. Well, maybe
it's out there.
Amazon and eBay probably have it.
It's out there. Yeah. It's out there somewhere. But if you're just going to choose, I mean, the second one could probably be standalone because it gives you enough of a backstory that you could watch it. But for my money, it's always going to be the Blair Witch Project, the original. That's the one that creeps me out the most. I think we'll probably, unless you guys have anything else, we might just close it out with that. One thing I do want to mention before we talk about the library situation with this and whether you want to add it to your library or a public library, we want to thank a couple of podcatchers that are out there. Over the past few months, we've been fortunate enough to have some pick us up without solicitation. The first one is Player FM, or it could be FM Player, but I'm pretty sure it's Player FM. The second one to pick us up was Listen Notes, and then just recently Podchaser picked us up. So they're kind of basically like iTunes. We're in the iTunes store. You can find us there. But in these three podcatchers, we're also in their links, and you can find us in them. And they did this for us. Just thought people might like listening to us. So we want to thank all three of those for doing that for us. That's pretty cool to see. But to get back to the two movies, it's rated R, definitely. The movie is dark. Do you guys want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
What are you?
What did you say? Would you, Jonathan, put them in the library? Yay or nay?
I mean, the first one isn't, as horrible as what we classify as horror movies now. Some people might take it as a joke. The second one is kind of classified
maybe drama. Whatever.
As a, more horror risk because it has
the gory features.
It has shocks. The gory features in it and shocks. I would put the original in the libraries before I would put the remake in the libraries.
Well, it wasn't a remake. It was a direct sequel, basically.
direct sequel, whatever. But
okay, Logan, what do you think? What do you think about these two? Personal or public?
Oh, they're pretty good. And public, you should at least have the first. Probably the third. Yeah, not sure about the second. And if I were to ascribe different ones, the first one might get drama, but Paranormal Activity, even the first one or two, are both horror, and they all have almost no horror aspects until the ending sometimes in those. So, yeah, they both fit fairly well in horror.
Okay, and for me, this is one, like I kind of mentioned before, first one is, to me, a game changer. Mm-hmm. It's a marker in history of film. This that is needs to be developed as a genre. So just by that fact alone, this probably should be in a public library. Mm-hmm. If you're a horror fan, it probably should be in your library too because of that. It was a game changer. It brought the found footage to light. I mean, it made it popular. And it was good. I like the fact that you use your imagination to get scared. It's still, to this day, however many times I've watched it, it still gives me chills. Just sitting in the complete darkness, hearing the cracklings, like Jonathan said, and the children laughing. It just sends chills down your spine and goosebumps on your arms.
I'm getting them right now. Listening to you talk about it.
The second one I would include in a public library just because it is a direct sequel. Fans of the genre might not. You could probably get by without having it in there, but it is kind of fun to see the direct sequel. To me, it's not as classic as the original. Like Jonathan said, it has the traditional jump scares now, the shock value. So it's more of your traditional horror film. In that regards, I would stick with the first one, and I could give the second one a pass. But public libraries, you might pick up both just so people can see the direct sequel. The second one, like I said, we might jump into that at some point, but we probably more than likely won't. So it depends on how we're feeling on any given day.
If we ever actually get up the actual one to actually get it.
Yeah.
Because it's not in this library.
Nope. We used to have it, but not anymore.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Did not know that. Huh.
But that's going to pretty much do it for us this time around. I hope everybody's out there been having fun listening to us on our Halloween episode with Blair Witch Project and Blair Witch. Go out and watch them. Remember, turn out your lights, turn the sound out up real loud, and get creeped out by Blair Witch Project, if nothing else. We've been having fun. Hope everybody out there's been having fun, too. We'll catch everybody on the flip side. Bye now.
And remember, don't let your own Blair Witch get to you. See ya.
Night.
I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's surely the moment that I don't wanna miss. And what I'm trying to say, well, I don't know, but I thought it was important just a minute ago. What I'm dying to say can't even be bought, cause I lost my ticket on the train of thought.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.